God will take care of us.
Amen.
Through every situation, through every trial, all our life long, until we come to glory to be with Him forever. All because of that victory that we have in Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Thank you for one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can come together and have sweet fellowship. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word, which we're about to look at. Pray that you would open our understanding, that we might see wonderful and glorious things of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 10. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 10, and Brother France asked me if I was going to shoot him tonight. And I told him, yes, I'll probably do that. But it probably won't be right now. Or it might be right now, I don't know. I got intentions of shooting him later on, but not right now. Ezekiel, the 10th chapter. And we've began looking at verses 1 through 7 last week. Last week we looked at the glorious appearance, the vision of the glory and majesty of God. And if you remember right, we said it's the same as what he had visioned previously. That same glory which he had visioned in the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, in the 3rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and in the 1st chapter of the book of Ezekiel. We said last week that it was in the firmament. It was above the earth. It was above the cherubim. It was above the earth. Yes. Praise God. He's above all. He's above all of His creation. He's there. Tonight we want to look at the second part of that. And while we implied it last week and even at times said it and looked at passages of Scripture that said it, He is seated on the throne. He is sitting on the throne. The last part of verse 1, and we'll read all of verse 1, but we'll be dealing primarily with the last part of verse 1 this evening. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. He is upon the throne.
Amen.
God is upon the throne. This is, as it were, a sapphire stone. We said last week about a sapphire stone. I don't know that I've ever seen sapphire stone. Maybe I have and didn't know what it was. But as we talked about it last week, it's a precious stone. It's one that would be greatly valued. But as it is a precious stone, it is a glorious stone. And this is all in the description of what sapphire is. Be looking at some others later on, and likenesses, it says a gem. However, it didn't say that about this sapphire stone, that it was a gem. It says precious. It's glorious. then is as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. This sapphire stone radiating glory, radiating gloriousness, is an appearance of a throne. Well, if you remember that picture, it's the same picture we had in chapter 1. Turn with me to chapter 1 again this evening. We'll go back there and refresh our memories concerning it. In verse 26. Verses 26 and 27. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Boy, it sounds just like chapter 10 and verse 1, doesn't it? Yeah. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above a bonnet. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And all of this was appearance of the throne. Now, he didn't go into all that in chapter 10. Wasn't necessary to. But he wanted us to get the vision of the sapphire stone and the appearance of a throne for the one who sits upon the throne. God is seated on this throne. And as so, is represented by a throne. He is the sovereign.
Amen.
The one who sits upon a throne is said to be the sovereign of his kingdom.
Amen.
What he says goes, and he does what he pleases. Remember last week? He's in the firmament, high above all of the creation. This week he's in the throne, he's on the throne as sovereign over all of his creation. It is his domain. His domain. And yes, we'll be going to Daniel chapter 4 this evening in just a moment. But first of all, we want to look at Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 93. Psalms in chapter 93. And in verse 1, the Lord reigneth.
Amen, amen.
Well, you know, Brother Bowen and I were talking about the 23rd Psalm the other day, and when he studied that Psalm, he just really had his eyes open to something. He stopped right there, the Lord. The Lord, and you three or four messages on the Lord. The Lord reigneth. Well, there's three or four messages more, right? But the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. Well, that's typical of a king, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't a king usually clothed in majesty, clothed in royal apparel? The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The word also is established that it cannot be moved. Who did that?
The sovereign.
The one who's strong.
Amen.
The one who reigns. The Lord did it.
Amen.
The sovereign. You see, thy throne is established of old. How old? Well, it's forever. Forever. But before the foundation of the world. 6,000 years? Yeah, it's that old and older. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. God was there all the time. When He created. And His throne, this psalm tells us, is established of old. That phrase talks about eternity. Talks about before the foundations of the world. Talks about never had beginning. Never shall have ending. Thou art from everlasting. See? Was I just blowing words out my mouth? No. The word verified it, didn't it? Thou art from everlasting. How long's everlasting? Brother Ron, Brother Frank, forever. How long's that? No end. No beginning, no end. Amen. Praise God for that. Now, let's see something about the one who sits on the throne. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, and I think I know that you know this passage of Scripture. Sometime, I'm going to just stop before I announce the handle, tell you about what I'm going to be looking at, and have you tell me where it's found. Would you like that? Would you like that? Give it a try, huh? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. Of course, this is after the Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride and thought he was the cat's meow. Thought that he was king over his domain, but he thought he could do pretty much as he pleased, whenever he pleased, as most kings do. God said, I'm going to show you who's king. I'm going to show you who's sovereign. And he made him to go upon all fours. Amen. And to eat grass as the wild beast. And he looked like some kind of strange animal. Growing nails as long as eagle's talons. And feathers, but eating grass like the ox. Boy, that sounds like some, watch this, prehistoric creature. I was talking about that the other day. Somebody used that terminology, or a show we were watching on the History Channel used the term prehistoric. Do you realize that's a contradiction of terms? Because it means before history. I don't care if the earth's a billion years old, which it's not. It's all history. From whenever it began to the present, it's all history. So, prehistoric, that's a contradiction of terms. But you know what I get when it looked like some creature that they come up with from the ages of the dinosaurs. You know, and there were some strange looking birds. Around noon. But verses 34 and 35, notice what Nebuchadnezzar said when his reason returned to him. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Amen. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason, return unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness, return unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom and excelled, and excellent majesty was added unto me, because he finally was wise enough to acknowledge the all-wise and all-powerful sovereign of heaven and earth.
Amen.
The God of heaven and earth, ruling, reigning, sovereign over it all. It is his glory that is there. It is the glory of God that is seated upon the throne, as is pictured by the sapphire stone. Something glorious there, something precious there is emanating from the throne. You got the picture yet? We had it in the first chapter. We'll be going there. In fact, let's go there right now. The glory of God. The first chapter in the book of Ezekiel. In verse 28. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Remember that? Remember that when we covered that in the first chapter? The appearance of the... Who was seated on the throne? Up the few verses that we read earlier. Said a man, in the likeness of a man. Well, who was the man sitting on the throne? Verse 28 tells us it was the glory of the Lord. Who's the glory of the Lord? You remember? Jesus Christ is the glory of the Lord. He is the one whose glory, God's glory emanating from the throne. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Aha, you thought I was going to Revelation 21, didn't you? Huh? Well, I am. But first we're going to stop by Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. Who's his Son? Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. The brightness of whose glory? The brightness of God's glory. Jesus Christ, the Son, is the brightness of God's glory. He is God's glory shining forth, you see. Who is the being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 21. And just to keep this thing short, we'll just read one verse. Verse 23. And the city, that is the New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Wow. No sun, no moon. Going to be a pretty dark city, isn't it? No. It said it had no need of the sun and moon. Well, if it has no need of the sun and moon, then it must not going to be darkness there. Right? For the glory of God did lighten it. The glory of God did lighten. Well, who's the glory of God? It hadn't told us yet, has it? And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. If the Lamb is the light thereof, and the glory of God is what lightens it, then the Lamb must be the glory of God, right? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the glory of God. And He lightens the city. No need of the sun and the moon. Thus, Jesus Christ said in, I think I got this right, John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. There'll be no need of the sun and the moon. In that city, in that new heaven, in that new earth. So, it was, as it were, a sapphire stone, pure and sparkling, precious, glorious, clear and transparent. Maybe hard, I don't know, because I don't know what a sapphire stone is other than what I read about it. Possibly very hard, solid, and therefore durable. Well, all that would be descriptive of Jesus Christ, would it not? Amen. A clean and clear manifestation of Christ's righteous judgments in the execution of His office as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Such a throne has God prepared in the heavens, far exceeding the thrones of any earthly potentates, is in the firmament over all of His creation, over all the thrones of the earth. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I knew where I wanted to go. I just had to be sure I didn't have another scripture before this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read that verse so you get the idea of who it's talking about here. The Lord Jesus Christ. At the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He appears, He's going to show who is the powerful one, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, who it is that rules over all, who judges all. Praise God. He is the glory of God. This is the one that Ezekiel saw in that, like a sapphire stone, as the appearance of a throne. The glory of God emanating from that throne. And He's about to rain judgment. He's about to bring judgment upon His nation, Israel. I think, He's about to bring judgment upon this earth. Even if Jesus Christ would appear in the sky tonight, take all His saved out, there would be at least 7 years. But He would begin to pour out His wrath upon this earth at that time. The time that He takes us. That's why He's taking us out.
Amen.
You see? So He can deal. When we go, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when we go, the Holy Spirit goes.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit restraint over men is operative today. So far as God will not get the glory, he restrains. He allows to go on what brings him glory, Psalm 76:10. Even the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the rest thou shalt restrain. You see, and the Holy Spirit is restraining all that will not bring glory to him. But he's restraining less and less, 2 Thessalonians 2, until the day that he be taken out. And then the Antichrist, Satan, is going to have, well, pretty much free reign. He's still going to be limited by God Almighty. He's not going to be able to do more to those Jew than what God allows him to do. You see. Well, we'll stop there tonight.